The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by Parmar and also the Masters Law Firm. This is the podcast edition in the Stone Church Studio today with Derek Bailey and the GOAT, Avon Coburn. Michael Sussman is off on assignment. You know what they say when professional, like, journalists are not there that
they're
day.
They're on assignment.
They're on assignment today. So Sussman is on assignment.
He's recruiting, hopefully.
Yeah. we could use some of that. Actually, speaking of recruiting, I think Neil Brown was in at the Hurricane game the other night.
He was at the Hurricane game the other night.
I wonder if he was looking at that big old offensive lineman.
Well, he has an Alabama offer, so he should be looking at that big offensive lineman.
Oh, yeah.
That's, maybe some other guys, too.
What's his name? The Scooby guy.
Yeah.
I think he's from South Charleston.
Yeah.
But he plays for Hurricane. Yeah, he should definitely. I mean, if Alabama's offered, you know, you would think he could play for WVU if Alabama's offered.
The thing about it is,
I don't know if he can, though, to be honest with you. I don't know if he's good enough.
One thing, though, you know, Alabama has a tendency to over-offer. So I'm not saying the kid doesn't deserve an offer, but they do over-offer a little bit. So, but, you know, even if he's on the radar, I'm sure he's good enough to play West Virginia. But anyway, let's get into it. West Virginia, Houston. In Houston, West Virginia drops a heartbreaker, 41-39, on the last freaking play of the game. You know, first of all, your immediate reaction to the gut punch.
To me, man, it was one of those things where I was waiting for something to happen. I mean, I love West Virginia. I want West Virginia to win every game. But at the same time, it just feels like we're not going to win every game. And it's like, I don't want to lose, but I feel like we're going to lose when we do lose. So I felt like it wasn't over. Like, when we scored, I was like, great. And then I'm like, oh, yes, something's going to happen.
Welcome to West Virginia fandom, young fans. That's what you get with the Mountaineers, a gut punch, just a constantly. You know what it reminded me of? Different sport, but it reminded me of Keaton Paulino in the 05 NCAA tournament after Pitsnoggle drains a three, and then he throws up a Jupiter ball that's spinning like a orbit, and it goes right through.
Yeah, my initial reaction, of course, was just like, I was shocked. And then, you know, I've been through it so many times, and we'll get into some of that stuff that – it didn't affect me like it did. Like, I came in the next morning and people in the office, the younger people, were just so bent out of shape. And I just looked at them and said, man, I've lived through it all. I've lived through 89 Pitt, 03 Pitt, 96, or 03 Miami, 96 Miami. I've lived through 07 Pitt. I've lived through it all. So this ain't even top five.
No, not even close to top five for me either.
So we'll get into that. But, you know, my initial reaction, though, is just disappointed. Because it was just a blown opportunity. You know, you have an opportunity to move to 5-1 and position yourself to make a run to play in the Big 12 championship game and to really put together a special season, and you just blew an opportunity. And there's plenty of blame to go around, and we'll get into all that, but man, it just sucks. Like,
I mean, but did they blow an opportunity?
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it,
you're 5-1.
They're 5-1.
And you're getting ready to be voted into the top 25 for the first time in his
tenure. But in your mind, did they blow an opportunity? Like,
they blew an opportunity to have a really good season.
See, I love West Virginia. I'm going to say we're going to win, but sometimes I just am like, if we win, that's great.
I mean,
I don't feel like we lost an opportunity at all. I really don't. I just feel like.
Here's why I feel like they blew an opportunity. You're going to 5-1. It looks like you're going to be 5-1. And Houston's the worst team in the conference. But you've got several games left, still a lot of season left to play. You can win most of the games left on the schedule. So, like, say you beat Houston and you get to 5-1. Even if you turn around and you lose to Central Florida, you come back home, you beat BYU, you go lose to Oklahoma, Then you close out and you win 2 of 3. You finish 8-4. Well, no one expected West Virginia to go 8-4. They were picking them 14th in the Big 12. That's a pretty good season considering what the expectations were. And that's why I think this game was a blown opportunity, because Houston is the absolute worst team in the Big 12, first of all. The second thing is I think this is the worst loss of Neil Brown's era, and I'll tell you why. You had your ex-coach, who's probably going to get fired the next day, on the ropes, could have knocked him out. It's their first conference win ever. It's the first win for the four newcomers ever in Big 12 play. The fashion in which you lost was heartbreaking, but it was still the same errors that we've seen throughout his tenure. It was just the worst loss of the era, in my opinion, just because of who it was and how it happened and things like that. Had they lost the worst teams? Probably. But, you know, you can't lose that game. You had a chance to be 3-0 in Big 12 play with Oklahoma State coming to town.
I mean, again, man, like, it's just what the norm is. Like, he's not anybody. I mean, great guy. You remember if hopefully this don't come off wrong, but if there's a girl that is nice, not very good looking, what do you say? She has a great personality, right? That doesn't mean that, you know, she's not a good person, but that means you don't want to date her.
You trying to tell me that's what women say about me? Oh, he's got a great personality. Oh, no. That's what I get all the time.
I'm saying that's what they say about Neil Brown. Nice guy. He's a hell of a nice guy. I mean, he's a hell of a nice guy, but as far as football-wise, let's not.
But, I mean, that goes back to where we were speaking last week and people were saying how negative we were. You know, well, people thought we were being negative, maybe. Oh, yeah. I don't know, whatever.
The text messages.
Whatever, yeah. You know, but the thing is it was a cautious optimism. Because we had seen this before.
No, because we knew this was going to happen.
And we could see, you could see the same issues. It's just no one had taken advantage of them other than Penn State to the point we were at in the season.
You know, and here's the thing too. And, you know, I got some messages and texts about the negativity. That wasn't your opinion. What you said last week was not your opinion. Those were facts. Those were hard numbers. And anybody that presented them, it was not your opinion. These are the facts. And the facts are, those were the numbers. Those were the wins. Those were the scoring averages. So it wasn't even us being negative. It was just, here are the facts. And unfortunately, the facts are negative.
Nobody likes to hear the truth.
No.
Ever.
And the thing is I should also throw in there, he is 3-1 against Pitt and Virginia Tech, which is fantastic. Like, those are the two games you want to win, you know, 3-1 against them. And he has the only conference win over Oklahoma since we've joined the Big 12. Those are positives for him. The positive start was good for him this year. But, like, they've never won more than 4 games in a row in 5 years now. 4 games is the max winning streak that he's seen so far.
Let's move on and talk a little Garrett Green. I thought, considering the type of defense Houston was lining up in, I thought Garrett played a good game. Now, we'll get into some of his celebratory penalties, but he finished the day with, he was 20 of 38, 391 yards. I was going to say he was 391 pounds. You can tell I'm tired today. 391 yards. 2 touchdowns and an interception that was not his fault. I thought he played, and that was the passing game that I've been waiting to see from him. Now, he did miss a few balls. He missed a couple guys in the flat, which would have been big gains. But he was hitting guys, throwing some strikes. Receivers were going up and getting the balls. He threw a couple behind, but they were getting them. So it was working. So it made me feel a little bit better, like, okay, if we get into a game where we've got to throw it, he can get that part done.
Not so fast, my friend.
You don't think so?
He did play a heck of a game. I thought he played well. However, when it comes down to him making plays, I mean, he missed so many wide open bombs. Like, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a quarterback, never was a quarterback, will not attest to throwing crossing patterns or you know, the plays that you're supposed to make, he didn't make. So hold on, let's kind of back up a little bit. We're on page 12. We got to go back to page 1. And I have a nickname for our quarterback. And it's very fitting because when I heard it, I thought we were talking about the head coach of the other team. but it's not. So Cocaine Bear, a.k.a. Gary Green, is...
Wait a minute. Are you trying to say he's a cocaine user?
I am absolutely not. I'm okay. just saying he
Let's
is...
Let's make that clear.
I think he's saying he's wound up.
He is super, super hyper. He is probably the most hyper quarterback I've ever seen play at WVU. I mean, as far as temperament-wise, he's going to be up when he's up. And when he's going to get down, I'm probably sure he's going to go all the way in the tank. However... You know, Cocaine Bear is one of the most erratic quarterbacks that I have seen. I mean, it was number-wise, it was good, but I mean, he still was, a little under 50% throwing the football. So, you know, we had some big plays. However, I'm not gonna. You know, put the cart before the horse on this guy.
Like, I didn't say he was a second coming of John Elway.
Well, I mean, you kind of alluded. This is what
I,
this is.
No, know, I just, this, I simply
this
said.
This is what you said. You said he could, if we get in those games, he could now, we now know that he can do that. No, that happened one time.
Well, I'm just, what happened to that point, we had not seen it at all. I had zero
Facts.
Faith in it.
Facts.
See, I'm on the fence here because I was encouraged because he did throw some beautiful passes.
For sure.
But the wildly inconsistent throwing is what concerns me. He'll throw one, the touchdown pass that should have been that the guy intercepted, that should have been a touchdown. That ball was perfectly placed, beautiful throw, dropped in perfectly. But then he has a guy streaking wide open and he throws it like 5 yards short and the guy has to come back and get it and gets tackled. Should have been a walk-in touchdown or whatever. I mean, it's just wildly inconsistent, which is, you know, maybe that's just what he is because he's not a great passer. Everybody knows that, but it's just one of those things with me. I didn't think he was outstanding. I mean, he was obviously good enough to win the game and he didn't lose the game by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought he could have played a little bit better. And I'm going to go back to another point too. The drops continue to hurt. You know, they dropped three balls. One guy broke his finger, I believe, on the drop.
On a drop.
Yeah.
How did you catch the ball like that, Wimbley?
Well, it looked like to me when he went up, you know how, I think when he went to get it, he literally poked the ball and it dislocated his finger.
And the catch, Taylor? I'm sorry. It was his first game.
The tight end.
The 2-point conversion catch he made was outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was good to see the emergence of Devin Carter, 5 catches, 116 yards. Cole Taylor, of course, did his thing. He's a serious weapon.
Taylor's an NFL player.
Yeah.
He's an NFL player.
And I think is he a sophomore?
Sophomore. Richard freshman.
Okay, so we'll have him.
He's actually a Richard freshman.
Unless he gets picked.
He could get an NIL deal and go, because he looks like an NFL player to me.
And then, you know, I think Clement has a bright future at West Virginia. you know, he made a great play, caught that ball, went across the middle and scored.
I think the DB and Clement just ran into each other and it happened to knock Clement free. Don't get me wrong, it was a great play. And then he stumbled all the way to the end zone.
Yeah,
it was great.
He commented on that. That was actually a switch play.
Yeah, it was just funny.
And it worked out because those guys bumped into each other. But, I think he has a bright future. I'm not saying he's Sean Foreman-esque or David Saunders-esque right now, but I see a ceiling for him. And I see a high ceiling for him.
I just want guys that will consistently catch the ball. Catch the ball. That's the main thing. Get open, catch the football. That's your job. Get open, catch the ball. And most of the time Thursday night they did it, but there were still some, you know, Carter dropped a big pass. Didn't hurt him on the last drive. He dropped a big pass. The kid that broke his finger. But the play that killed him was the touchdown pass that ended in an interception. You got to catch that ball. Yeah. I believe that was Anderson.
I sent you guys the PFF scores. Did you guys – Glenn? I was shocked to see Zach Frazier at the bottom. Well, that was probably his lowest performing game of the season. He graded out like at a 54.
They couldn't run the football.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they had good yardage, but they didn't have good yards per carry.
I mean, but they haven't had that the whole year.
It's been.
I mean, they haven't been that. Like, so I don't.
Well,
I don't
and plus
know.
You had the whole side left, or was, yeah. Half of your line was out.
And somebody recovered that fumble. I believe it might have been, I'm not sure. There was like a 12-yard loss on a fumble. Remember the guy just dove on the ball?
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was, but he, you know, that's a 12-yard loss there. So,
you know, so far the recipe for success for West Virginia has been special teams solid, no penalties, defense playing well, and the defense was atrocious.
the penalties were bad as well. And, I mean, you can't get penalized that many times in a game like that. You just can't.
Yeah, Neil was pretty upset in the press conference. Called him undisciplined. You know, defensively is probably the poorest game I've seen us play this year.
For sure.
You know, that Donovan Smith, you know, he looked like Mike Vick out there.
16 for 16 to end the game.
To end the game, yeah.
To end the game. I mean, 16 for 16. That's – you can't have that.
He was 21 to 27, 252 yards, 4 touchdowns.
And he ran one in.
And he ran one in. So he was spectacular.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was fantastic for him.
I mean, the first half he was meh.
To me, the first half is where the game was lost. Like, you can't lose a game necessarily in the first quarter, but you can possibly win one when you dominate the game and you're up 10-7 because of a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Right.
And you should be up more. That's where the game's lost, and then you drop the ball to go up 17-7, and they intercept it and run back down the field. That's a killer. You could have not necessarily won the game, but you could have built a lead to where it doesn't come down to a Hail Mary at the end.
It just, I'll be honest with you, it should never came down to that, but that's where we found ourselves. Let me look here.
Dropped interception, too. We didn't even mention that on the defense.
Probably 3 interceptions.
I mean, every single week that goes by, they're dropping interceptions.
I mean, and that's one of the things that I don't know. I mean, that I don't know. I don't like the defensive coordinator. I think he is always finding a way to
dumpster juice back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's ever left. I mean, even though they've been playing well, I promise you, I'm like, this dude is – he's bound to – like, how do you have a bad game? How does your players have a bad game against the worst team in the league? That is a stat game. Like, what do you – like, you could tell coaches that's never really played at a high level because – in my mind, I'm like, look, guys, this opportunity for y'all, go get some stats. Go get picks. Go get sacks. They are bad. Treat them like they're bad. And they're not doing that.
And you know, I mean, I don't want to pile on to the defensive coordinator, even the coaching staff, because I feel like this was a complete and total coaching staff, team, player, everybody involved. I felt like they all lost the game. Like, I feel like there were plays, you know, because he can't catch the ball for the defensive backs. Eventually, they have to make a play. I mean, he can only get them in position to make that play. Now, were they out of position a lot the other night, too? Sure. But he can't run out there and intercept the ball for them. I mean, they've got to do that. But it's just one of those things that you could still see. It's just the quarterback play of the other teams that we played previously could not take advantage of the holes in the secondary.
Right.
Let's listen to Neil Brown here from the press conference talking about the missed opportunity that I was harping about.
Yeah, we had a chance to gate to 10. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's going to talk about the Hail Mary play. And we did not play that well. You know, I don't think our guy timed up his jump. I've got to see it. I saw it live. I saw the ball in the air, and so we lost. You know, as soon as I saw the ball go up in the air, I knew it. And we practiced that, and he just didn't time his jump up. And instead of getting it up and hitting it at the high point and knocking it down, he mistimed his jump and hit the end of the ball, and it floated, and their guy caught it. But that's why, like, to me, like, this isn't a deal like where I'm heartbroken. We lost the game on the last play. That's not it. Like, we didn't play well in 2 of the 3 phases. We flat did not play well, and we win as a team and lose as a team. And we didn't play well. You know, that we had a touchdown that turned into a fumble. You know, they call it an interception. That's a fumble. Y'all heard me say that for 5 years now. That's a fumble. And that would have been a play to go up 10. And we had multiple chances to take control of the game in the second and third quarter, and we did not.
And that's just what you were just talking about.
It's a fact. I mean, everybody that watched the game knows that he wanted to call it a fumble, and that's fair because that's an interception on Green. That's not an interception on Green.
Right.
So he's right. He saw what I saw, and, you know, he's talking about how they high point the ball and bat it down.
I think he could be a coach for the Mountaineers.
I doubt that.
You saw what he saw.
But no, like, he's talking about high point the ball and knock it down. Well, that's the mistake. Most of these Hail Marys, where these games end on Hail Marys, usually the players try to intercept the ball, and it gets tipped up, and then it gets tipped, and then there's so many guys down there, anybody can come down with it.
And that's the thing. I mean, so 2 things from that, and I heard that the other day, and I'm like, wow, what confidence you have in your team. When they throw the ball up, you said we lost. He threw the ball up, and you're coming like, oh, yeah, I thought we had a chance. You said we lost when he threw
the ball.
Ball
went up. Yeah.
I'm like, so in my mind, he was thinking like everybody else was thinking. Because in my mind, I'm like, we lost this game. Like, they're too close. They're going to throw it up. They're going to score a touchdown. Like, even though that was it was a dramatic high when we caught the pass, went in, everybody celebrating. Cocaine Bear gets all excited, throws his helmet off, and now he's like, you know, he thought what we thought. Yeah. You know, he thought like everybody else, which means
so he's seen this song and dance, but he must be a Mountaineer fan.
Yeah.
He is, because now think about it. Think about what he does on fourth downs now. He's a Mountaineer fan. He's not a coach. He's a fan. Every fourth down, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. Fourth and 15.
Let's switch gears a little bit. And this part of my notes, it literally is listed as random stuff. I want to talk real quick about Del Woolfley. Obviously, the passing of Del Woolfley this week was kind of shocking. I don't know how well you know Dale or how much you've been around him, but obviously, as a member, he was way too young to pass. He was 56 years old.
Wow.
Member of the 88 team, played guard. His brothers are Ron Woolfley, who does. It was an awesome fullback for the Mountaineers, and then played in the NFL for years, all pro. And, you know, the Woolfley family, my thoughts and prayers with them, just terrible. Amen. I mean, obviously, you know, Wolf was speaking of just being a fan, he not only is a former player, but he loved the Mountaineers.
Yeah.
Everybody always spoke positively about him. I never met the guy or anything, but everything I heard about him was how much he loved West Virginia, how much he loved the Mountaineers. Everybody has positive things to say about him, and that's sad.
Yeah. He's just 56.
It's way too young.
Way too young.
That's crazy. I mean, just when I heard it, I was like, man. And I mean, now that we're rambling, you know, I, to be honest with you, man, I had three people pass in the last 2 weeks or week and a half, I would say. And you know, I would consider, you know, Wolf one of my people. But,
yeah,
it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I mean, thoughts to, you know, to his family and, you know, that's just – it's just tough. 56 years old, that's just way too young, man.
Yeah, and you know, obviously he was still doing his shows, and he was always finding ways to get the guys together.
For sure.
To talk football. You've gone on his show. You know,
he was heavily involved in WVU football.
Still. So, you know, it's crazy, you know, that he's gone. So, and then, you know, did you see the clip where Dante Stills made the sack against Burrow last week? And the play-by-play announcer, you know, Dante Stills out of West Virginia on the sack on Burrow. And then he made the West Virginia connection, and then the Mountaineer does it for Dale Woolfley, and then he went into the thoughts and prayers because Ron wasn't in the booth last week. So, speaking of Dante Stills, what a hell of a season he's having so far!
Yeah, he's starting to start games now.
Good for him.
I think it's going to be his third start this week, which is awesome.
You know, and maybe that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't, maybe that extra year helped him, you know, just develop and, you know.
Man, it's hard to start on the offensive and defensive line as a rookie if you're not like that first round dude or second round dude. It's hard to start because, I mean, that's a tough position, like, physically to play.
Yeah, I mean, but he's physically a beast. Like, he's physically got it going on. And I'm excited for him because, you know, his dad, his pops was really my mentor. And, you know, he actually raised me on the scout team. And, you know, just to know that somebody from that lineage is doing well, you know, warms my heart.
You think his dad could still give us about 7-8 snaps a game? We could use him.
Absolutely.
You've seen him. Like, yeah.
We could use him.
That dude is crazy. Like, I'm be honest with you. Like I couldn't give us one snap at all. Like, my body is beat down. I remember he came back one time and was running with us and was beating us. Like, and when you train different when you're in the NFL and you in college, you just, you don't lift the weights as heavy. You don't, you know, you still run, but this guy was smoking, and this was Antonio Brown. He's not running with the D linemen. He's running with the receivers, running backs, like in DBs, smoking us. I'm like,
I love
yo.
That so much. It's so crazy.
No, I don't.
He was a dude.
Well, he was
obviously one of my favorite players. There's his jersey.
Yeah, he's definitely my favorite Mountaineer.
Oh, he was awesome when he played. I love that guy.
Speaking of, you know, being Mountaineer fans, so obviously we've lived through the heartbreaks. What are the biggest sports heartbreaks for you personally? And it doesn't even have to be West Virginia. You know, the Houston game was different because that's, like I said, that's the first time I've seen it happen at the buzzer other than in a basketball game. Hmm. What are some of the biggest sports or WVU heartbreaks for you?
I don't know. Mine was losing my first championship. I was 12 years old and we were a really good team. We won every game except the championship. Well, we lost the first game, and then we were like, okay, that's
went on a run.
And then we won every game except that one, and we went to the championship game and lost, and that was it was heartbreaking because we were so good. It just hurt my soul that we lost that game, and I'm like, man. And so for me, that was my worst, because that was kind of my first experience at losing in sports, like on that championship level.
Mountaineer, I'll keep it Mountaineer related, because we could probably do like a 3-week show about this. But no,
tune in next week for more stories from gut punches.
The Texas game in basketball, Sweet 16, when the Paulino hit the shot. The Louisville game in basketball for the Final Four. That was a killer.
Yeah.
Blew a 20-point lead.
Oh, that hurt.
The Miami game on the Tremaine Mack punt. And then the Pitt game, 13-9, I think that's all that needs to be said there. And that's probably the worst one, because we were on our way to the BCS National Championship game. That's the worst one. That's the worst one.
Oh, that was a gut punch. Oh.
That was the worst. To me, that's the worst one in Mountaineer. Like, for me, Mountaineer fans, like, that's the worst one. Because, like, 88, like, Notre Dame was probably just better than us. I mean, they were good. You know, don't get me wrong. Major was awesome. But Notre Dame was probably a little bit better than us. 93 was kind of a miracle season. And you get in there and you lose by 34 points. And you're kind of like, well, we're probably not it. In 2007.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That team was legit national title good. And you lose to a 27-point underdog at home with a national championship game on the line. Yeah. And it was Pitt. It's just horrible all around. That's the worst one for me.
That's probably the worst one, but the biggest momentum swing gut punch was probably 03 Miami. Because you've got them 4th and 18, yeah. And Winslow goes up and pulls that. I mean, that play came right at me. And he just jumps up and catches that ball, and then they go down and kick the field goal. And we were having such a bad season at that point in time. And
then they didn't lose again, though.
You're thinking you got the number two team in the nation beat. Yeah. And it's going to be payback for all those times that we should have already hammered them. 96, yeah. You know, we got in 98.
Michael Vick.
You know.
That was 99.
That was Ezrin James and those guys.
Yeah. I'm talking about 99, Michael Vick.
Virginia game. That was a heartbreaker, too.
Oh, my
goodness.
We've seen this song and dance. We know how many there are.
Yeah, so, but yeah, Winslow, I mean, just comes up, gets the ball, and especially the way, you know, the dramatic fashion of Quincy, that play.
Oh,
so
right.
That, yeah. To me, has been the biggest momentum swing. You're just riding so high, then they take it from you. So, boys and girls,
there's been a lot of them.
Welcome to West Virginia sports.
A long lineage of this. So, WVU basketball starts in a few weeks.
Awesome. No,
and that's the end of that conversation. I'll tell you what. I have no idea what to expect from this team. No idea.
Has Battle even been cleared to play?
No.
And see, Perez is gone.
Perez is gone.
I don't understand what's going on. The NCAA, man, they need to get a grip on reality. They suck.
NCAA is the worst. They just came out and said, something.
They
like
cleared that kid from North Carolina finally.
When are these schools are going to get off of this NCAA train? Like, why? Like, why are they still?
Why?
I mean, the NCAA does not do anything anymore. Like.
Yeah, they do. They do a lot.
They control money.
They punish West Virginia State for Alabama's faults.
Yeah. Like the UNC basketball issue, yeah, the classes.
The classes.
They hammered the girls program.
Yeah, UNC was caught And they said,
said they hammered the girls' program. I didn't see that.
And then Missouri got caught doing the exact same thing. Oh, they tore Missouri down. They crushed Missouri.
Well, Bill Self, they just hammered. What did they get them for?
They took their Big 12 championship away in 2018.
Yeah.
Ooh, because everybody cares about that. When they ask you who won the 2018 Big 12, everybody's going to say, well, Kansas.
It took them 6 years to figure this out.
Man, all those federal wiretaps. And basketball seems to be worse off than football, I guess. Because they had a lot of these coaches on wiretaps offering players money. Like Will Wade, that used to coach LSU. Now, he got fired, not because he was on wiretap, but because of poor performance. He said that he offered a kid on wiretap an NBA salary level contract, and the kid turned it down and went to a different school. So what did the other school offer?
Jesus.
Exactly. Crazy stuff, but
it's something like that. He said that's a solid offer. That's an NBA rookie contract.
He said that's a solid offer. It's an NBA that is a phenomenal offer.
It's NBA rookie contract, basically.
For an 18-year-old. Crazy stuff. But speaking of WVU basketball, for those of you listening, and next week the big announcement will come. But I'm going to encourage you now, head over and follow Full Court Press. It's our basketball show. When Avon steps out after football, we've got someone that's going to be coming in to fill in for us. Well, not fill in, but just become a part of the basketball staff with our show.
It's coming.
And so everything that – actually, if you go over to the Gazette Mail, the HD Media Properties, who is our partner in producing this, the teases will start this week. So – and then next week the announcement will come.
You hear that – mm-hmm. That means something big is coming.
So just, I'm going to encourage you to do it now. And then next week I'll tell you and be like, told you so. Told you so.
More negativity out of me.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just going to double down on Derek's negativity. Real quick, let's go through the sports headlines. Oklahoma State over Kansas this week. And you kind of talked about it earlier. I think even off air, you're worried about Oklahoma State now.
Oklahoma State's starting to look like a little bit of a problem now. I mean, they started extremely slow, lost to South Alabama, lost to Iowa State. Everybody kind of wrote them off. But the last 2 weeks, they've beaten Kansas State at home. They've beaten Kansas at home. That's two pretty solid wins for them. They've started a quarterback now that's a transfer. He came in from – he played at Texas Tech. He's played at Michigan. His name's – I think it's – his name's Bowman, I believe, Alan Bowman. And he's looked pretty solid the last 2 weeks. It's two pretty good wins for them. It's kind of – you know, they might be finding it a little bit. We'll find out next week. But I mean, they've looked better the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I saw them play. And again, it's we think we got layups, and
I know exactly.
And now they're coming to play. That's and I guess, you know, talking about, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago that Jalen Daniels is not necessarily hurt. He's transferring, going to.
So that's the new Anthony Twitter said. Rumor. So I have that here to talk about. Bean, the backup, threw for 410 yesterday. Five touchdowns.
Bean is solid.
He's always been good, though. He is solid. To be honest with you, I was like, you know, when Buddy comes back, let's see if we can go get him. Because that would be great to get a guy like that.
Yes. That can throw the football. Bean in a second.
So the Twitter rumor, and we know how reliable this is, but this was just what the buzz was that he's going to self-redshirt. And the one I saw said he's going to transfer to USC. When Caleb Williams leaves.
But Caleb Williams says he's staying in school.
I mean, but the thing about it is, he's not staying in school. Let's call
that
way.
I don't know, man.
He's going to be number two quarterback.
But USC will possibly pay him. We're talking about NIL. What if USC offers him like $5, $10 million, which they can?
Well, basically, goes back to what he's going to do is self-redshirt.
Yeah.
And then he's going to peel out of Kansas next year, mm-hmm. which is dirty.
Super dirty. I mean, but they're not losing, though, because this Bean kid is a beast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
He can sling it.
I mean, I think he can throw better than Jalen Daniels.
Just say what it is. Don't act like you're hurt.
Right.
I agree with what Avon's saying. I think Bean's a better passer. Daniels is better all around.
All around, yeah.
But Bean's a better thrower.
For sure.
Back to Oklahoma State, Ollie Gordon ran for 168 yards yesterday. So we may see a rushing attack on Saturday.
Well, and they can throw it a little bit too. That's what they're balanced. I mean, and that's what scares me about these teams moving forward is like, you know, I felt like Texas Tech without a quarterback was one dimensional.
Right.
TCU, do you see TCU made a decision to bench their quarterback? Well, the guy they put in yesterday goes nuts on BYU and they hammer BYU.
Right. 44-11.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the thing that's kind of scary is like Houston could actually throw the ball a little bit and they could run it a little bit. And that's what you're going to get with Oklahoma State. So that's kind of, you know, that's not a good combination. If they're one-dimensional, I feel like West Virginia's fine. They could shut the run down.
Well, we can if we can make them one-dimensional, I think that's, we got that's a chance.
Yes.
Because we made those first two teams. I mean, well, Pitt didn't have a quarterback at all. So that
he's
was,
a tight end now.
Yeah. He was.
He left the quarterback room. That's pretty bad.
I mean, he was terrible.
And then they smashed Louisville. They yeah. smashed Louisville last
yeah,
night.
Last yeah. night. Yeah, it was a great game. But if we can, you know, again, I don't want anybody to get hurt. And if they find a way to minimize one of those run one of those you know facets of the game, we like you said if the team is one dimensional, we win. Yep. They kept us off balance yesterday, mm-hmm. and just made us they and again we made a lot of mistakes on defense, but we just look average.
The game I have listed here is Tennessee over Texas A&M, and the only reason I mention this because there's a West Virginia connection with Jimbo. Obviously Jimbo is on the hot seat. He's out there doing the James Brown. His feet are so hot right now. Here's the interesting thing though. I looked this up this morning. If they fire him this year,
$82 million,
it's $76.8 million. If they fire him after next year, $67.5 million.
His contract was guaranteed. Guaranteed money.
That's a lot of bread.
But they don't care down to eight. They got it. They'll fire him and go get money. Somebody else.
They're gonna make that money today.
If I was Jimbo,
in oil.
If I was Jimbo, I'd be trying to go. I'd be like,
what time you want me to leave? What door you want me to go out of?
I'd be like, hey, y'all can fire me if you want to. I really, really want to be fired.
Yeah, please.
what's his name? The Arizona coach. He was Texas Tech's coach.
Arizona.
Kevin Sumlin?
No. He was Texas Tech's coach. Then he
Clint.
I couldn't think of his name. Kingsbury.
Yeah.
His buddy, we played together. Like I played with his friend in Canada. And he was like, bro,
Cliff don't care.
He went to Thailand or something right. for vacation as soon as he got fired. I was like, well, that's probably what I would do.
He said my boy told me, yeah, easy now. He was like, I was hoping that they did. That's what he told my boy. He was like, I'm going to get $5 million for the next 3 years. Please.
Fire me. I would be, if I'm Jimbo, I'd be like, hey, y'all do whatever y'all want. I'm going to get fired anyway.
Just for the record, your contracts here are not guaranteed on this show.
Well,
you're not going to get $67.5 million.
If I was, I'd have been fired a long time ago. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be here.
Thailand.
I'd have been cussing on the radio. Hey,
Notre Dame. How about the Irish? Oh, they blow it to Louisville, and they blew USC out. And I actually thought, USC plays no defense, right. And if you can force them into errors. And that's exactly what they did last night. I actually quit watching at halftime, and I thought they recorded 3 turnovers. Derek tells me they had 5, and then had a kickoff return for a touchdown. You know,
I'm not surprised at the result there. I don't think USC is very good. I think
it's Oklahoma West.
A great quarterback can mask a lot of problems, and I think that's what Caleb Williams was doing. Was he was masking a lot of problems, and when he has a bad game, they tend to lose. Like, look. Utah made him play bad last year. They crushed USC in that championship game, if you recall, the last game of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then he looks bad last night. They turned the ball over 5 times. He throws 3 first-half picks. They're behind 24-6, game over. Notre Dame had 250 yards. They scored 48 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
It was crazy to see.
That's bad.
Speaking of stupid coaches,
mm-hmm.
the Dumb Coach Award this week goes to the Oregon coach. Actually, I think the Oregon coach should share it with the Washington coach. I've never seen such bad in-game coaching than I saw in that game yesterday.
So you tell them to punt?
Well, so the way, you know, the way the game ended, well, and if you back up, you know, if Washington kicks the field goal, they're up 6
mm-hmm.
and forces Oregon to try to score a touchdown. But instead, they go for it, don't get it. Oregon gets the ball back. All they need is a field goal to tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they score a touchdown.
The analytics or whatever these guys are doing, I don't understand.
There is no analytics. They're just going with their gut.
The first, and at the end of the first half, like I see why Washington went for it fourth and one on the 1 yard line. I understand that. Oregon in the second half.
That was a dumb play, though.
But Oregon in the second half, I can see why you go for it fourth and goal. Like, I understand a little bit. At the end of the first half in a 22-18 ball game, you go for it, and I do not understand why. Kick the field goal. You're down 22-21. You get the ball first. I think they get the ball first. Oregon did.
Especially the way they go for two all the time.
And it was just mind-boggling to me that they did not kick the field goal at the end of the first half. Well, then, at the end of the game, they run, like, instead of running the ball to the middle of the field and getting it placed, maybe he's more comfortable from where the position he kicked it from, whatever. But, like, you could have ran the ball to the middle of the field, called your timeout instead of just taking it and chucking it out of bounds. I didn't understand what they were. I don't know. It was just weird decision-making in-game all game long in that one. I didn't get it.
It was a great game to watch.
Two good teams.
Really good teams playing. And, well, that Penix kid is – he throws the ball weird, but – He's a
strike.
Strike throwing dimes.
Their receivers can play too. Poke Adunze and McMillan. Yeah.
Do we really know that for sure though? Because all they do is just put their hands out like this. Here, hit this.
They do a good job of high pointing the ball. Like so they're one on one. Yeah.
Kind of. Let's back up a little bit. Talking about Penix because he was in Indiana mm-hmm. last year and.
It was 2 years ago. He was at Washington last year.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
He was at Washington last year.
So, okay. So, I'm talking about the year that he was there, and he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the same thing as is Buddy doing now from Kansas?
Oh, that I don't know.
I think he said he hurt his knee or something
He actually got hurt. He was legit on the field, got hurt. I saw the play where he got hurt, tore his ACL, I believe,
right.
and then transferred out to Washington because I believe DeBoer, which is the coach at Washington now, offensive coordinator at Indiana when Penix was there. So that's how the connection got started, and he ended up at Washington.
Well, I mean, I liked him when he was at Washington. He had that one receiver there with him at Indiana. And oh my goodness, they were a squad.
Dude was named. He went
to USC.
Oh, the kid from. Oh, I thought there was a kid from Indiana that went.
He's from Indiana. He went to USC. He had like a weird name.
They had one they called Wop because he liked Whoppers.
No, it wasn't him.
They had another one. there were two on that team because it was 2020.
I think it was like 12.
The COVID year, they had two guys.
Mm.
Yeah, but I liked him, man. He, like you said, he's throwing dimes. He's putting it wherever the ball needs to be.
And I'm glad they put that on early in the day. It wasn't like a 10 o'clock Saturday night game. So the East Coast could see these two teams. So it was pretty smart scheduling. Speaking of 10 o'clock games that nobody saw or went to bed at halftime.
Oh, my goodness.
How about Colorado and that choke job?
Oh, my goodness. I swear. And I know you guys ain't going to believe this. But I went to sleep 29-0 and woke up when they had the ball on the 1 yard line and he threw the pick. I don't know how I woke up when that happened, but I woke up and I'm like, how the heck is it 49-49 or 43-43? This is crazy.
I was at his brother's house and they were punishing him. I said, I'm not going to sit up and watch this.
I fell asleep when it was 7-0. Woke up, it was 29-0. It was turned my TV off and said, that's over. Woke up at 4:30 a.m. and saw they lost 46-43, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So it was a wild week for college football. You just start with West Virginia.
There was another Hail Mary last night. Boise State lost on a Hail Mary last night. They were up 30-10 with 4 minutes left and lost 31-30.
Wow.
It's just crazy. I mean, so it was just a wild week in college football, and you know, maybe hopefully we got ours out of the way. We don't need any more of that.
We don't need any more of that. Yep.
All right. So West Virginia and Oklahoma State next Saturday. You going up?
Still haven't decided yet. I want to. I want to just be me and my bride and not take all them damn kids.
It's a chore, bro.
It's a chore taking babies to the game.
Hey, it's
man.
So much of a chore. Even when I'm with them, I'm helping.
They came up to the spring game.
I come up, I grab Nova, and I got the little guy, and I'm like, come on, let's go, man.
I'm like, oh, Lord. And I went by myself, too. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he was by himself and had four. I can't even do it with
struggle
one.
Struggle bus. Yeah, man, so I haven't made a decision. I'm going to talk to her tonight. because I do want to go.
That'll be fun. 3:30.
Yeah, that's see,
what's the weather supposed to be?
It's probably supposed to be kind of cold.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, I don't worry about the weather. I don't worry about the cold. I worry about the rain.
See, I don't like cold. I mean, cold is good, but I haven't decided if we're going. But I mean, I would like to.
It's supposed to be clear 55.
Oh, that's
perfect.
That's
perfect. That's not.
I mean, it's
cold.
Gonna be a little chilly in the stands, but
nah, get you a hoodie, a couple of airplane bottles. You're all good, man. It'll be nice. All good. What do you think? Do you think West Virginia could rebound next week, or are we looking for more trouble?
For me, I'm you know, I'm a homer, and I don't know if we can win this game. I really do not know if we can win this game. I mean, if the quarterback comes out and plays like he did, and I mean, hopefully hits a couple more passes, but if our defense is what they were, we gonna lose big at homecoming.
I hope not. I think West Virginia wins this weekend. I think they're going to rebound. For some reason, I don't see this gut punch tearing this team down. I see them because they've already been torn down, and they're trying to build back up. Mm. And they had a little something going, and they knew. And I think they know in their heart they should have won. So I don't think that's gonna.
So
you got to remember, young 20-year-olds are much different. They think. I woke up pissed about it again this morning. These guys have already watched film and moved on,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Because they have to. They're forced to now be focused on Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and it makes me think that, you know, I'm still in the lead here.
Yeah. And we all lost last week.
Yeah.
We all picked West Virginia.
That's what it makes
Houston's
me think.
The worst team in the damn conference, and we lost.
It'd be like us all picking West Virginia to beat Temple and
Temple winning.
Temple winning. Yeah.
That's the equivalent of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry on that one. Yeah.
What do you think, Derek? Do you think West Virginia can do it next week?
I have no idea what to expect. It's a winnable game. I think, unfortunately, Houston's going to beat West Virginia twice.
Oh, no. Well, thank you guys for listening to the Touchdown City Show this week. And don't forget, if you listen to the radio broadcast, if you miss it on the air, it will be posted again on social media. And you can subscribe to all that at touchdowncity.com. And you can listen for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week. The phone number for that is 304-9696-TDC. Again, 304-9696-TDC. And that's for the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week for the $25 gift card. Also, just a quick announcement. Don't forget, November 11th, the Sugar Bowl Foundation, in my annual event. Owen Schmidt's going to be joining us. People are reaching out, already reserving tickets, so you can go to sugarbowlfoundation.org and look at the two packages. There's limited amount of reserved and sponsored seats. If you don't get those, the rest of the seats in the building become first come, first serve. So, and those are not, it's free to attend. So if you don't want to reserve a seat, you don't have to, but you just got to get there on time.
Yeah.
And get you a seat. So thanks for checking out the Touchdown City Show this week. And for the guys, we'll see you next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.